folks, just a reminder, if you can keep your microphones muted, unless we're either calling roll or going to be giving comment, it helps with any background noise.
We're live.
Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, July 21st, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If the clerk could please call the roll. Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
So this is our sparsely attended meeting thus far. It's myself, the clerk, Mr. Bedoni, Mr. Mayor Donchez, and business administrator Mr. Evans. Those are the only four of us that are in the rotunda this evening. 2 weeks ago, we made an attempt to try to open things up to allow public in with social distancing. Since that time, Governor Wolf has put out new guidelines stating that 25 people can't be gathered in a space inside at the same time. So we thought it was prudent to reclose our space in an effort to protect city employees, administrators, as well as the public who might be coming in this evening. So that's why there's not a lot of people in this room. We're going to make every attempt to try to engage and allow people to join us physically when that's safe to do. However, we will keep our lines of communication open through our virtual meetings on GoToMeeting, as well as the YouTube stream, and indefinitely allow comments to be made via our phone line this evening, which is 610-997-7963. Prior to consideration of our regular agenda items this evening, City Council will be conducting a public hearing to accept public comment on the proposed zoning ordinance amendment pertaining to bed and breakfast. We have two communications. Communication 6A.
Memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, stating that the City Planning Commission voted unanimously to approve a proposed zoning text amendment ordinance amending the definition of bed and breakfast home in the city zoning ordinance. The approved ordinance incorporated some revisions from the proposed ordinance previously reviewed by the City Planning Commission. The proposed ordinance is the subject of the public hearing tonight.
Public hearings are conducted as follows.
6B.
Oh, pardon me. We also have to read in Communication 6B. Thank you, Mr. Bedoni.
A memorandum from Samantha Smith, Chief Community Planner, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, stating that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission reviewed the proposed zoning text amendment ordinance amending the definition of bed and breakfast home in the city zoning ordinance. The commission commented that the Planning Commission staff found the draft amendment to be generally consistent with the county comprehensive plan, and further that the proposed amendment poses no substantial impact to the region.
Thank you. And public hearings are conducted as followed. I'll recognize a representative from the administration, which is Director of Planning and Zoning, Darlene Heller, to present on the proposed zoning text amendment. Members of council will then have an opportunity to make comments and ask questions, and then I will recognize the public for comment. The public hearing is called to order. I'll recognize Darlene Heller, Planning and Zoning Director, discusses the City's Planning Commission's recommendations related to the proposed zoning text amendment.
Thank you. Good evening. The amendment really is pretty straightforward. This is proposed to accompany some ordinance amendments that you've previously looked at and that you'll vote on next month for short-term lodging. And the amendment amendment really is to clarify and make more specific the definition that we currently have in place for bed and breakfast. Specifically, the amount the amendment requires that a bed and breakfast be a single-family detached dwelling, and we previously or currently allow an owner or a manager to run a bed and breakfast, and we're going to limit that to the owner of the property, and the owner must reside in the dwelling. So this was discussed at a couple of planning commission meetings. Actually, we had some public comment from mostly from Mr. Haynes, but the planning commission did like the revisions that he brought to the table, so we did incorporate them into the amendments. I believe they were incorporated verbatim. So you've seen the correspondence from the Planning Commission. That was a unanimous vote. The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission also took a look at this, but as you can imagine, they don't see this as a regional issue. They don't really have any comment on the amendment. They forwarded it to us pretty much without comment. We received another letter today because they received the first draft and then also the second draft. And again, their statement is that they found the draft amendment to be generally consistent with the county comprehensive plan, finding that the proposed amendment poses no substantial impact to the region. So we would recommend that you move forward with adopting the definition change as it's drafted. It would be incorporated into your meeting agendas in the next couple of meetings, I believe, so that it can be adopted consistent with the amendments for short-term lodging.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. There are a lot of balls up in the air when it comes to short-term lodging as well as bed and breakfast within the city of Bethlehem. So it's pretty easy to mix some things together or exclude things, but as I just want to clarify at this point, we're specifically discussing and voting on the definition of a bed and breakfast. In time coming, we will be having a discussion about short-term lodging, which is a much more hot-button topic where we've been getting a lot of feedback. But at this point, the only thing in front of us this evening is the public hearing for the definition of a bed and breakfast. So are there any comments or questions from members of council to Ms. Heller or other members of the administration? Any members of council have any questions or comments? For our YouTube viewers, I see some heads shaking now. So at this point, we will open up public comment specifically and only to the public hearing that is at hand. I know a lot of folks, I have a few names signed up on our list this evening of people who would like to call in and discuss other topics, and we will get to that pretty shortly. But right in front of us at this time is a public hearing for the definition of a bed and breakfast. So I'm going to open up the phone lines if anybody wants to call in to do that. If you do have comment on any other subject at this time, I'll ask you to hold those comments and wait to the near future. So if you'd like to make comment on the public hearing for the definition of bed and breakfast, phone number is 610-997-7963. The zoning text amendment ordinance will be on the August 4th council agenda for first reading. The public hearing is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us, Ms. Heller. Have a good evening. Moving on with our agenda, seeking approval for the minutes for June 3rd. Without comment from council, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to public comment this evening. public comment has become obviously a bit more challenging. Typically when we're in the room, we have a first public comment and a second public comment, just for the interest of ease and managing the callers that we have. I've kind of rolled them into one and haven't been very hard on trying to differentiate the first between first public comment, which is any subject that people would like to do, make comment, versus second public comment, which is ordinances and resolutions to be voted on this evening. I have five names have signed up previously, so we'll start with those folks for first public comment on issues not being voted on this evening. So I'll be reaching out to Richard Lake, Greg Ragney, Carrie Fitzgibbon, Bud Hackett, and Mary Fultz in that order. After that, I'll open up the phone lines to anyone else who would like to call in to make comment on any subject to council this evening. So I'll be giving a call to Mr. Lake. Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Sir, how's everybody doing?
We're doing well. If you would please state your name and address for the record, and please give your comments to Council.
My name is Richard Lake. I live at 1418 West Market Street, first floor, Bethlehem, PA.
Go ahead, Mr. Lake.
A question that I had that was just brought up to me recently. I rent the apartment for a year, and I rent the garage in the back. But it was brought up to me in regards to certificate of origins or occupancy. Certificate of occupancies. And I come to find out through doing the solicitor's right to know and all that stuff that this particular tenant, man, owner, doesn't have one since 2012, and I'm just wondering what's the rules, what's the penalties. I mean, what's being done about to keep following up on the certificate of occupancies with these landlords?
Thank you for calling, Mr. Lake. And I did see an email from you earlier last week, I believe, about your specific situation. I don't have an answer for that directly. That's something that the administration would handle, probably specifically our zoning officer would be able to look into that. The mayor is here this evening, and we do have your contact information, so I imagine that we can. The mayor is giving me indicating that he'll have someone from his staff reach out to you to make contact to look into your specific situation.
I also have the mayor on Facebook. How you doing, sir?
He's doing well.
I met him through Larry Kissinger. Very good man.
We'll get in touch. Okay. Mr. Duncha says that he's going to reach out to you. We do have your contact information. Is there any other comment you'd like to make to council this evening?
No, I'm just wondering what's going on with the city, because there's so many landlords, and I'm on the neighbors website. There's a website called Neighbors for the Tenants in the Bethlehem area, and you'd be amazed how many have no knowledge of landlords supposing to have certificate of occupancy, and a lot of them don't.
Understood, sir. The administration, someone from the mayor's staff, will reach out and make contact, and we'll go from there, and hopefully you can find some resolution.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
Next on our net list is Greg Ragney. Thank you. Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Hello, if you would please give your name and address for the record and your comments to council. Thank you.
Sure, thanks again. My name is Greg Ragney, and I live at 2955 Oakland Road in Bethlehem. Thank you for providing us this opportunity to share our thoughts. I'm calling today out of concern about the quality and diversity of the recent public statements made on defunding, dismantling, and abolishing the Bethlehem Police Department. During Bethlehem City Council's last meeting, all of the speakers repeated almost the exact same demands and were affiliated with the same few political organizations. While their group's opinions deserve to be heard, they do not represent our entire community. Many of these speakers insisted that the time for conversation was over, that they have already had all the relevant conversations amongst themselves, that they have their own initiatives, and that they don't want any more input from other members of our community, or even the involvement of the democratically elected mayor or the police. One speaker even stated that their group, quote, has our own initiatives, and we just want your money, frankly, unquote. Another speaker plainly stated that we don't need to hear from any more whites. Appallingly, several members of council seemed extremely tolerant of these demands and even stated they agreed with most of what was said, which not only included but centered around the abolition of the entire police department. Over the past several months, we have initiated conversations with hundreds of Bethlehem residents and stakeholders in our community from diverse backgrounds who are also registered voters. The majority of those we have spoken with have expressed strong reservations about defunding, dismantling, or abolishing the police. All of these stakeholders recognize that abolishing our police department represents reckless public policy. They have pointed out that several other cities have recently experimented with this path, and the results have been deadly. We encourage council not to proceed recklessly. We encourage everyone in government and everyone in our community not to proceed recklessly. Our city is diverse in our makeup, yet we are one community. We must either learn to live together respectfully as brothers and sisters, or we will surely perish together as fools. Quality public policy starts with quality public conversations, which are based on the free exchange of ideas. It's troubling to hear some community members say that they have no interest in exchanging ideas. How are we going to proceed when the police have reached out in solidarity? The mayor has reached out in solidarity. The council has reached out. But all those overtures have been rebuffed and rejected with exclusion. Where does that leave the 75,000 other residents of our Bethlehem community whose concerns haven't even been heard yet or given any substantive consideration? How do we proceed when only one side wants to have a conversation and the other side is only issuing demands? That attitude doesn't come from a sense of respect for the community. In this kind of toxic atmosphere, how does a public policy process go forward equitably for all stakeholders in the community? I would finish today not with a demand, but with a request that all community members look into their own hearts and characters and begin anew the quest for peace and mutual understanding. Hate is our common enemy, not each other. If we can overcome the human problem of justifying our own hatreds, then no goal or ideal is beyond us. That quest for mutual understanding begins by genuinely listening and truly hearing each other's troubles and concerns. so that we can together search for balanced solutions and choose policies that respect our common humanity. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ragney. Next is Carrie Fitzgibbon.
Hi, you've reached 6108.
I'll reach back out to Ms. Fitzgibbon after we call our next two folks on the list. Next is Bug Hackett. Bethlehem City Council.
How are you? Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. If you could please give your name and address for the record and give your comments to City Council.
I'm going to turn this off. There we go. My name is Bud Hackett. I live at 201 East Makeda Road in Bethlehem, PA. And I want to call tonight to discuss an issue of the general issue of quality of life in the city. And what I'm increasingly finding many people who are concerned about elements of the quality of life declining in our city. Recently, I posted my first blog comment in a neighborhood blog. And I asked the question, am I just becoming an old coot, or is the quality of life seem to be declining in our community? And I was amazed, maybe you would not be, but I was amazed that in excess of 120 people returned a comment within 48 hours, and the concerns were similar to mine. Of course, there was the fireworks complaint, and I think the city has probably addressed that pretty well. But others complained about extremely noisy motorcycles and cars racing around the city. There were those who complained about, personal bad behavior, which apparently is not against the law, but it is a concern. And they posted other concerns that I don't even want to discuss publicly. But there was a surprisingly large number of people, and I have no idea how many people read those blogs, but a surprisingly large number of people that seem to be very concerned about what they perceive as a decline in the quality of life in our community, in our city. And so my call tonight is to just help you to be aware of that concern. Oh, there goes someone too noisy by my house right now. To be aware of that concern and to maybe make quality of life issues, however you want to define them, and maybe we need to define them better, a higher priority for city council and the city administration. To look at all of the many, many issues that you must address and make sure that you're always thinking about how does this affect the quality of life for those quiet people who apparently look at blogs and express themselves, very concerned about quality of life issues, particularly as they relate to noise and poor driving and et cetera. That's my comment, asking you to be more aware that many people are concerned about quality of life issues in our community, and hoping that council and the administration will make it a higher priority. End of comment.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Hackett. Next speaker is Mary Pulse.
Hello. Hello?
Hello, this is Beltham City Council.
Oh, hi. I am Mary Foltz. I live in Bethlehem at 2216 Montgomery Street, and that's 18017. And I'm calling to, you called me so I could present the Bethlehem Moment.
Thank you, Ms. Foltz. Please go ahead.
Okay, so this was written by me, Mary Foltz. I'm a professor at Lehigh University, and Susan Falciano Maldonado and Kristen Leifert, both of whom are archivists at Muhlenberg College. So in the early months of 1969, a group of friends, aware of activist groups in major urban centers, envisioned bringing the energy of the homophile movement to the Lehigh Valley. And what I'm sharing today is a moment in Bethlehem's history that's important to LGBTQ people. The homophile movement gained support in the U.S. in the 1950s and continued to make progress through the 1960s. Its primary aims were to fight for equal rights for gay and lesbian people, to counter discrimination in housing and employment, and to counter negative medical, educational, and social understandings of homosexuality. As LGBT people in the Lehigh Valley faced discrimination, this group of friends believed that a local homophile organization could help to make civic change that would greatly impact our community. Their dream became a reality 6 days before the raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. That raid in Stonewall served as the catalyst for the gay liberation movement. So on June 22nd in 1969, a gathering of 27 individuals met on the north slope of the Blue Mountains in Bloomsburg, PA, to form a homophile movement in the Lehigh Valley. The meeting drew participants from a 60-mile radius, and 15 charter members pledged dues and time and energy to foster the new organization. And leaders of this organization included Ron Fees and Joseph Burns and others from the city of Bethlehem. One of the primary decisions that members faced was whether or not to become affiliated with the National Mattachin Society, which is one of the earliest gay rights groups in the United States. But ultimately, because the Lehigh Valley is, you know, pretty distant from New York City and Philadelphia, it really presented challenges for Lehigh Valley residents to attend those meetings. And it prompted them to lean towards creating an independent organization. The homophile movement of the Lehigh Valley was then born. And this organization was nicknamed Lehigh Ho. And they wanted to secure a more central location for their meetings so that many in the Lehigh Valley could attend. During the summer of 1969, Lehigh Ho approached the Unitarian Church of Bethlehem about holding its meetings in their building. And after a review of the organization's bylaws, the church approved meetings beginning in 1970. Bethlehem has had LGBT organizations since 1969 here in our city. From its first month, Lehigh Ho became a hub for information about national gay liberation struggles and their regional counterparts. For example, they published their first newsletter in June 1969, and to continue to offer relevant reporting about protests and activist efforts in our region, as well as New York City and Philadelphia, and they really advertised regional social events as well. Even as they provided rich resources for the LGBT community, Lehigh Ho leaders sought to protect members from discrimination by securing mailing lists and the names and addresses of those who received their newsletter. As gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people could be fired or lose housing due to their sexual or gender identities, leaders needed to ensure the privacy of members. So all communication correspondence was conducted through a Bethlehem post office box in the name of Ron Seeds, who was the manager at Bethlehem Steel and also a founding director of Lehigh Ho. According to Joseph Burns, who was the original newsletter editor of their newsletter, Lehigh Ho was primarily a social organization, even as their members were invested in politics. So monthly meetings often featured really prominent speakers. Some came to talk about health concerns for LGBT people. Other people came from the Mattachin Society, like Dick Leash, who visited in the 1970s. So the most anticipated part of Lehigh Ho meetings was the social hour that followed the conclusion of the official agenda. Lehigh Ho provided an alternative to the bar scene, as many LGBT people wanted the opportunity to meet outside of noisy tap rooms and dance halls. While social events continued to be a huge draw for members, political organizing became the focus for others. Lehigh Ho members like Frank Whalen and Bob Whitman were involved in starting the Lambda Center in Allentown, which was the first LGBT community center in our region. Others were involved in the regional chapter of NOW and participated in the important fight for an anti-discrimination ordinance in Allentown. The political activity of Lehigh Ho members shows the value of social organizations for fostering spaces in which to build community, to dream of social change, and to create relationships that fuel the difficult work for social justice. So in the late 1990s, Lehigh Ho's membership began to decline as other LGBT organizations took the lead in the Lehigh Valley and built really on the foundation that Lehigh Ho had created. Still, Lehigh Ho's work on behalf of our community is an important part of Lehigh Valley history and Bethlehem's history in particular, which we're really proud to share with you tonight. And I'll just close by saying, I'm representing the Lehigh Valley LGBT Community Archive with this Bethlehem moment tonight, and if you're interested in learning more about regional LGBT history, you can find that archive at Muhlenberg College's Special Collections on their website.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Foltz. Have a good evening.
You too.
We reach back out to Carrie Fitzgibbon.
Hello?
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. My name is Carrie Fitzgibbon. I live on Oakland Road in Bethlehem, 18017. I'd like to thank you for your time, for this time to speak. And this evening, I'd like to address the recent calls to defund, dismantle, and abolish the police, the Bethlehem Police Department. This is such an important issue and has such far-reaching effects on so many members of the community in different ways that I'm still trying to gather and process information from many different points of view, as I imagine you are as well. Clearly, this is a complex issue that requires such nuanced thinking and diverse research. And my concern is that I haven't heard a lot of nuanced conversation around this topic. Instead, what I've heard doesn't really qualify as conversation at all, if conversation is the free exchange of ideas from multiple perspectives, building towards some workable solutions that can be tried and then tracked to see how effective they really are. In public debate thus far, we've only heard how one group of people perceives policing, and their perspectives deserve to be heard. Some very broad, absolute statements have been made, and we would humbly ask council to actively reach out to everyone in the community to seek out as many perspectives as possible, as there are many different constituencies who will be affected differently by any changes that are made. And we would also ask that before public policy is set, that rigorous research is conducted backed by statistical evidence. The Bethlehem Police Department recently released its 2019 policing report for Bethlehem. And some people say the police shouldn't have a voice in this process. But I disagree. Because of their experiences, the police can bring ideas to this conversation coming from their unique personal perspectives of what could possibly improve our systems. This report should be delved into. I mean, there were 65,000 calls made to police in Bethlehem in 2019, 2,600 arrests, and 145 uses of force. But if we have to go through every one of those calls, arrests, and uses of force in order to better understand what the police do for us and how they do it, then so be it. But so far, we haven't discussed any real statistics or heard an unbiased understanding of the value our police department contributes to our daily lives. I also feel it is important to realize that our police officers are human. Police have been referred to of late in any number of insulting and threatening ways. At the last council meeting, they were called an evil machine. And when you start referring to other groups by demeaning names, you make it easier to treat them as less than human, and you invite in hatred and violence. The Bethlehem Police Department is made up of human beings who wake up every day, put on their uniform, and risk their lives by upholding the laws this city council has passed for the greater good of our community. The entire concept of a civil society is based on passing laws to balance the rights of diverse members of our community. Police risk their lives every day balancing those rights by upholding our laws, and they are legitimate members of our community. People of color do not wish to be marginalized in our society, and rightfully so. But I find it sadly ironic that groups who are combating their own marginalization would attempt to marginalize other groups who are a legitimate part of our community. If people truly want a conversation, they must welcome the opinions and contributions that others make. Otherwise, this movement starts to feel like it's less about justice and more about revenge. Some members of society are not interested in balancing their rights with the rights of others. Some do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and sometimes that involves real violence enacted on others. Rape, murder, battering. I mean, that's why we need quality policing to protect us from those members of society. We are all human, and we all have flaws, and everyone needs to be held accountable for their actions. Everyone. That includes the police, and that includes the citizens that they interact with on a daily basis. And we insist on de-escalation and sensitivity training for the police, which is extremely important. And that works towards solving one half of the problem. In any relationship, both parties bring 50% to the interaction. Much has been said about the need to divert funds to education. Perhaps part of that education should be to teach citizens how to respectfully respond to legitimate requests of police officers. We only achieve compassion for each other by understanding the other side's perspective. If we express ourselves honestly and hear each other, we can separate the truth from the errors that are a part of every person's belief systems. If there is genuine dialogue and we listen well to other people's positions, we can truly hear others. And to truly hear others is to value what the other person says. Not just talk at each other, but really listen. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That's the last of the names we have who've signed up to make public comment this evening. At this point, I'll open it up to others who'd like to call in to City Council to make comment. That number is 610-997-7963. This will be your opportunity for anyone who'd like to make comment to council on any topic with a 5-minute time limit. If you'd like to call in this evening, the number is 610-997. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, this is Greg Zahm. Good evening. I live at 224 East Mercator Road, and thank you for providing this opportunity. I have to say, it's about time we hear some comments. I've heard two people speak tonight regarding only one opinion being expressed about the social upheaval we've been having. And we had a city council meeting 2 weeks ago, and we heard, I think, 20 speakers and in-person callers essentially in opposition to voting on the community engagement initiative resolution. And I don't recall hearing anyone in favor of voting on that. So it's kind of about time, but this kind of reflects what I feel is a real problem of communication shortcomings in this matter, from council and from the city in general. I don't think we have nearly the participation we could have, and I think that's something that has to be worked on. But What I prepared is the following. I have a few questions about the Community Engagement Initiative resolution and its discussion. And I will email my questions to council and to the mayor. First, why in the last meeting did you vote on the resolution with that vast majority, if not 100% public, calling an in-person opposition to voting on that resolution? Second, do I understand correctly that there will be an announcement tonight about a date for a first public meeting for the engagement initiative and that it will be held in a virtual format? Third, if a virtual format is and has been an option for public meetings, such as right now, why was that format not made an option to field public input prior to the voting on the resolution? I think this speaks to a problem that we have. We are not really communicating, although not in extended discussion that is necessary. I agree with the recent caller who expressed that opinion. Regarding those two callers previously, they related several things, and like I said, they weren't present for the prior meeting. Perhaps that would have improved our discussion. It was said, appalling things were said. We are one community. Only one side wants to have a conversation. Only one opinion was expressed, referring to last meeting. And council, don't act recklessly, to which I certainly agree. I think the discussion that has not taken place publicly would alleviate some of those concerns and actually help us arrive at more fair decisions. But as far as we being one community, in theory that is true, and I believe strongly in that. But many justifiably, in my opinion, justifiably strongly disagree with that, and that has been expressed. As far as only one side wants to have a conversation, that is irresponsible. That's not true. And only one opinion was expressed. Now, that's just too vague to be responsible as well. And it does require more nuance, like that caller mentioned. To say that only one opinion was expressed is not accurate. Another reason why we need extended discussion on that. So it's our responsibility to consider thoughtfully and to respond. I certainly agree with that. And kind of as I said already, but I'm going to read this, after the communication shortcomings surrounding this matter and our city's response to the public outcry, fairly or unfairly, about police violence in general, I believe it's past time for there to be public discussion. This is what I expressed last council meeting. Public discussion on topics such as this to improve Bethlehem City Government's communication with the public. Now, I'm asking, will you make that a priority for this? Will you make this a priority in the near future? I really believe we need to improve communication, and we can. I consider myself fairly savvy, and I find it few people have any clue about how to get into and be heard at the meeting. They must share some responsibility for that, unquestionably. So, to avoid the problems around lack of discussion, then I ask, how can all be heard without more proper opportunity for public discussion, which I know is, I hope will take place regarding the resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. We're accepting comment to Bethlehem City Council. Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, good evening. My name is Scott Huff. The last name is spelled H-O-U-G-H. I live on Edge Hill Road in the city. And the reason for my comments today are I have a question and a thought for council and for the mayor. Last week, a group of citizens from Northampton County attempted to obtain a permit from the city in order to support Pennsylvania House Resolution 836 in the 100 block of East Broad Street. Contact was made with Judith Stiles from my campaign, and in all transparency, I am a Republican candidate for House District 135. Ms. Stiles responded to our campaign by saying that we would require a permit, and we asked about filing for that permit. She then responded to us by saying that we would not be approved for a permit. This was without even the ability to file an application. We asked why that was the case, and we've received no response. It's now been 5 days. I'm asking council right now, has there been a moratorium on gatherings and permitted gatherings in public places? And for the mayor, was this something that came from high above? Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. I believe someone from the administration may reach out to you to help give an answer to your question. Thank you. Is anyone else who'd like to make comments to Bethlehem City Council this evening? Number 610-997-7963. This would be for any topic that you'd like to discuss, make comment to council, as well as any. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Mike Henriquez. My address is 537 4th Avenue, Bethlehem, PA. Just want to thank you guys yet again for having an open floor for us to call in and make public comments. My comment is regarding the last city council meeting that took place. I'm just at a loss for words. I just wanted to note that what was said during the last city council meeting, which truly struck everybody as when we had a discussion about it, and that the city council stated that this document, the document that I'm speaking about, I apologize, is the community resolution, and the city council stated that this document meant nothing, and that the words on this document, the very thing that makes up the document and the resolution and for justice, that it meant nothing, that it was more of a concept and that not about the words. And I'm confused on why the resolution was even passed after stating that the words in the document meant nothing, and majority of the callers and public commenters asked for...
We lost the caller.
Apologize, the call dropped.
Understood. Please continue your comments. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm a loss for words. I just wanted to note that during the last city council meeting about the community resolution and that the community council, the city council stated that this document meant nothing, that the words on the document that makes up this very document, this resolution, means nothing, and that it was more of a concept and not the words. I'm confused on why the resolution was passed after stating that the words in the document meant nothing, and if this was the step we needed to take. The community of Bethlehem is asking for a public discussion to pass a resolution that will mean something to us and to mean something to the community and create change. I just wanted to remind the city council to get further understanding on what the next document towards succeeding this resolution and the step towards justice will say, and what will consider it, what words will be used so this document means something for us and for the community. I'm just trying to gather an understanding on how the next step will mean something if the first step we took meant nothing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Accepting comments about Bethlehem City Council. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, yeah, this is Julie Bradley. I live at 214 West Broad Street, Bethlehem, obviously. I'm just calling because I know, I'm sure you've heard about this, the incident in Allentown. I wanted to bring that up with the police officer who stood on a man's neck in the same way that George Floyd was murdered. Allentown does have use of force policies, and they were in place when that occurred. So I would just urge City Council to move away from 8 can't wait, because it's clear that use of force is not, use of force policies are not effective ultimately. I would also urge the council to invest in the community, including multilingual resources for immigrants and asylum seekers, community needs such as housing and healthcare, non-carceral violence prevention, allocate funding to mental health care, wellness resources, neighborhood-based trauma centers, non-coercive drug and alcohol treatment programs, support networks, and training for healthcare professionals. I also demand that we invest in teachers, counselors, restorative justice, and transformative justice workers, make public transit free and accessible, invest in community food banks, grocery operatives, gardens and farms, and invest in youth programs that promote community care. I just wanted to comment on I think it was one of the first callers. I am in complete agreement that hate is the unifying enemy right now, and if we're investing in community care, that is how we can overcome it. And to do so, we need to invest in our community. So I urge the City Council to consider allocating funds to those community supports. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963.
Hello, Bethlehem
City Council.
Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Hi, my name is Maddie Fall, and I live at 1235 feet Woodbine Street, Bethlehem. And I just wanted to comment on behalf of the last City Council meeting. I first want to thank City Councilmember Olga Negron for amplifying the voices that showed up to the last meeting and for listening to the people who were making these demands. I just also want to point out that some of the stories that were shared in the last City Council meeting by City Council members were very inappropriate and just showed the lack of understanding on behalf of downtown officials who are supposed to represent us on what exactly the community needs and what the people, especially the people in the Black community, needs as of right now. And I would also like to speak on what another caller said about the community engagement resolution not being a resolution at all, but to then say that it's about the concept and not about the words, and this piece of paper means nothing when reading it, there were things that were clearly outlined in what City Council wanted to try to do, so I'm confused as to why that means nothing and how it was voted on and passed in the first place when so many people opposed of this resolution. And I would just like to reiterate that the people who spoke at the last meeting and the many people who called with these demands in regards to ACE abolition and moving away from ACE can't wait, as callers said before, that small group does not accurately represent what Bethlehem needs as a city. But in fact, those are the very voices that are always overshadowed, and those are the very voices that Bethlehem needs to continue to amplify and to continue to listen to, because in the Community Engagement Initiative, it just shows that our officials and the City Council members don't understand the needs of especially marginalized groups in Bethlehem. And that's all I want to comment.
Thank you for your comments. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. If anyone would like to make comment to City Council. The number is 610-997. Good evening, Bethlehem City Council. Mr. Haynes, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. If you'd please state your name and address for the record and give your comments.
Yeah, it's Bruce Haynes from 63 West Church Street. I wanted to call in. I was compelled to call in by the comments from Greg Ragney early on and Kerry Fitzgibbons. And I thought both of them eloquently spoke to the need for real dialogue and not one-way demands. Unlike a couple previous callers, I have no demands tonight. I simply want to compliment them on the quality of thought that went into their presentations, and I support what they had to say completely. I'm someone who moved here to Bethlehem, made an investment here in Bethlehem, living in the downtown, and, you know, I moved here because of the safety and quality of life of Bethlehem, and I've experienced the Bethlehem police and multiple occasions over the last 20-some years and dealing with subduing disruptive guests to being a first responder to somebody that fell on the sidewalk to diffusing arguments between people to looking for lost children. I mean, I have the utmost respect for the Bethlehem Police Department and what they do, and also the Bethlehem Fire Department. I think we have two of the finest public safety departments you're going to find anywhere in the state, and I really encourage you to not, you know, jump to fast conclusions, certainly with respect to any kind of defunding. I think it's very important for the future of this city that we have the safety and quality of life that is provided by our current life safety people. Secondly, I want to comment on Mr. Hackett's comments about the noise issue. I brought this up last year and the year before. The outdoor dining obviously has become, you know, our forte, if you will. It's almost our calling card now on Main Street, Broad Street. And I have to say that the noise issues, from cars with no mufflers to the motorcycles to the raceway that occurs on Main Street, and it's like being at the drag track where you can't really even have a quality dinner out on Main Street because of it. And I think it's time to actually seriously consider, I never thought I would recommend this, speed bumps in each block, in the middle of each block, near the hotel, up in the middle of the next block. We've got all the outdoor dining going on there. We've got these, it's really an accident waiting to happen, not to mention the quality of life issue of not being able to even carry on conversation because of the noise issues. And I think the speed bump probably would keep a lot of these people just from, you know, cruising through Main Street, which is what goes on. So we talked about enforcement a year ago or so. I know there was a sign put up, but the realities are it's nobody standing there and getting a ticket. And so maybe the real answer, that the conclusion that we've come to is it's time for speed bumps to slow people down before we really have a serious accident and to also eliminate the noise. So that's my comments for tonight. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your comments. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963. This will be our last opportunity for anyone who'd like to make comment to council this evening. The number is 610-997-7963. moving on with our agenda this evening. Any old business for members of council? Communications. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leasing with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem, and the event is the Market on Greenway Farmers Market. The agreement covers various dates and times stated in the approval resolution. The agreement covers the Greenway from Webster Street to Pierce Street.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Kelly Andrade recommending a contract with Hometown Press for services related to the creation and publication of two city newsletters. The estimated total cost is $14,036, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from William P. Leeson, City Solicitor, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records listed in the exhibit to the proposed resolution. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Retention Records Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution will be placed on the August 4th agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Maximus Consulting Services for services related to the city's cost allocation plan. The term of the contract is 3 years. The cost is $40,500 or $13,500 per year. There's a renewal for 3 additional 1-year terms.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few items here. Administrative order. Number 22, I hereby appoint Delia Marrero, 607 William Street, Bethlehem, to the Human Relations Commission. This appointment is to fill a position held by Mark Wimmer, who resigned from the commission. The appointment is effective through April 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Mr. Klum?
Yeah, I just want to say I've had a chance to work with Ms. Marrero in her capacity with the Hispanic Center, and as being a member of the HRC, look forward to having a new member willing to serve. So, of course, I'll be supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. Yes, I, like Michael, met Delia Marrero, actually, when she was at CSCLB, and now at the Hispanic Center, have been working with her very closely. And she will be a great candidate for this board, and for many others for that matter, not just for the one that you should have Latinos to begin with. So I want to say thank you to the mayor for reaching out to members of the minority community. They showing that we're not invisible. Thank you.
The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Just an update on COVID. As of this morning, as of today, I should say this afternoon, the city of Bethlehem, we've had 1,126 positive cases and 82 deaths. We've been averaging the last few weeks 2 to 3 cases per day, and the city of Bethlehem has had a positive rate of 2.2%, which is down from 28% in April. So we've made a lot of progress. And Kristen Renwich has done an excellent job, needless to say. Now, per the governor's decision last Thursday, which I was very disappointed in, to be very honest with you, how it affects our small businesses and restaurants, we met today internally, and I've decided that the city of Bethel will purchase an additional 100 parklets for businesses, and we will try to, as soon as they get delivered, after we place the order, get them out as soon as possible to try to help our small business and restaurants and even retail in a sense. So that will give us a little over 200 parklets that we've been able to put out in the last several weeks, with the cooperation of Mike Alcohol, his department, and Alicia Carter. And I think it's something that there's a cost to it, obviously, but I think these are really challenging times, and we have to do everything we can to help our restaurants and businesses, because the restrictions that came down last Thursday were much more restrictive and limits, needless to say, the number of people inside that could be inside. So I think that's a decision that hopefully we'll get quick results and we'll get them out as soon as possible. And also, I think Jody Evans, along with the health department and the police department, did a very good job last week at Elmwood Park. And I think this week, in fact, I think it's tomorrow or Thursday, it'll be at Yashko, then LG Stewart at Clearview. And it was well received, and I just want to say thank you on that note. And that's my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, authorizing and directing the issuance of a general obligation bonds series of 2020 in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $8,500,000. Providing the proceeds of the 2020 bonds shall be applied to carry out the refunding of the guaranteed revenue note series of 2012 pursuant to a refunding program. Determining that the sale of the bonds shall be a private sale under the Act, and determining that the bonds shall be non-electoral debt of the city. Fixing the interest payment dates, denominations, and registration, transfer, and exchange privileges of the bonds, and providing for book entry bonds. Setting forth the maturity dates, principal maturities, and current interest rates of the bonds. Establishing the redemption provisions of the bonds. Accepting a bid for purchase of the bonds and authorizing execution of the bond purchase agreement. Designating a paying agent and registrar. Designating a place and method of payment of the bonds and interest thereon, and making certain covenants with respect to the tax-free status of the 2020 bonds. Covenanting to pay the principal and interest on the bonds and pledging the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the city for that purpose. Providing for the circumstances under which the ordinance may be amended or modified. Providing for the terms, conditions, covenants with respect to the bond insurer, if any, for the bonds. Authorizing and directing specified officers of the city to do and perform certain specified, required, or appropriate acts. Declaring that the debt to be incurred is within a limitation imposed by the Act upon incurring of such debt by the city. Authorizing and directing proper officers of the city to deliver the bonds upon execution and authentication thereof, upon receipt of proper payment of the balance due therefor, and only after specified approval is required of the Department of Community and Economic Development of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Providing for the compliance with Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 15C212. Covenanting to pay over at settlement sufficient monies to provide for the payment of the 2012 note in accordance with the refunding program, providing for the issuance of irrevocable instructions to the paying agent for the prior note to call said prior note for redemption, providing for severability of provisions of the ordinance, providing for appeal of all ordinances or parts of ordinances so far as the same shall be inconsistent, providing when this ordinance shall become effective.
Thank you, Mr. Dodoni.
Oh, Bill 16-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 17-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 18-2020 is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We have no new ordinances this evening. Moving to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of public records held by the Water and Sewer Resources Department. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Walden.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Community Action Development Corporation of Bethlehem Market on the Greenway Farmers Market event. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Hometown Press for the production of two seasonal city newsletters. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Mr. Cologne?
Thank you, President. Just a quick question for Mr. Evans or Mayor Donchez. The 33,396 copies, is that every address in the city or every residential address in the city?
I'll have to check. I think it's every residential, but I'll touch base with Kelly tomorrow and then get back to you.
I was just curious. Thank you, Mayor.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Maximus Consulting Services for services related to city cost allocations. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion?
Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Mr. President, Mr. Civic was watching. The answer is residential. 33 residences.
Heard that. Thank you.
That's our one viewer. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Civic. How are we doing today, viewers, Mr. Verdoni?
24
viewers, in fact. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 51 East Wall Street to repaint portions of the house and replace existing railing with new railing. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 24 East Market Street to replace a damaged garage door. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Grown and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business, Ms. Cramsey?
Yes. Good There will be a public work committee meeting on this Thursday, July 23rd, 2020 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The subject will be proposed transfers of city-owned real estate.
Mr. Colon?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just to announce, we finally scheduled the public safety committee meeting. So that's going to be Tuesday, August 11th at 6 p.m. Instructions, well, the formal announcement and the instructions on participation will be coming out from the clerk's office soon, and we'll get that out to the press, to the different citizens lists, city social media, city website, things like that. We are going to, as was discussed earlier, because of town hall being closed meetings, it will be a virtual meeting. I thank Mr. Vidoni and Mrs. Calachava for their work in helping. But we're looking at, and I spoke about this last meeting, is it ideal to have it virtual? No. If we could have had it in person, this meeting would have been done by now. August 11th is the next date that we could have got everyone, for the most part, available. And then we'll release instructions moving forward soon on how everyone could participate. But it'll be, participation will be virtual, either calling in or looking at giving people the opportunity to sign on to look at members of council, how we do in the go-to meeting, so that those further instructions will be coming down the pipe. And the agenda for the meeting will be policing, go over the use of force policy that the city released. Mayor, you know, we'll talk further before the meeting, but the presentation that has been presented at different meetings by the police department, I think, would be good for members of council to see that presentation about the use of force, and then also have the discussion about the community engagement initiative and that resolution that was passed. And just a couple reminders to everybody and anybody still tuning in at home that, you know, at any time, I'll only speak for myself, but I know all members of council pretty much share the same sentiment. I encourage anyone to reach out prior to a public safety committee meeting, after a public safety committee meeting. Our email addresses, my email address is on the city website. Our city clerk's office could always forward any messages to us or requests for phone calls or anything like that. So as we move forward through the process and as we tackle different meetings, and this public safety committee meeting is going to be the first of what would be many, because the goal isn't to have a bunch of public safety committee meetings, it's to move towards that community engagement initiative, which you know, I think I expressed last time will be something that will be gaining shape and something that's going to be dynamic as we move forward. So is it ideal to have it virtually on August 11th? No, but that's what we're doing because that's where we are right now. So and more on participation in that either the next council meeting or before then as we put different things out there for how people could participate. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds and then Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Thank you. I'll just try to take a minute here. One of the earlier callers had referenced the situation in Allentown that I think a lot of us have read about over the past week. And I just wanted to share a couple observations I had. I obviously disagree with the conclusions of both the Lehigh County District Attorney and the Allentown Police Department, but I want to talk more about the statements that they made in response to their investigations or whatever it might be. A big part of the protests have been people speaking to their distrust of people in positions of authority, and it's been a common theme across a lot of the conversations, whether or not they're locally, as far as the state is concerned, in Washington, in Minneapolis, everywhere. And a lot of people, I mean, people are always going to have disagreements, but I think how one of the things everybody should be taking a look at is how authority is used determines often how much trust is going to be built and maintained, whether or not you're a teacher, a parent, elected official, whomever it might be. And there were a lot of people in Allentown, Lehigh Valley, that were watching, waiting for those statements, not just to see what the conclusions that were made by the district attorney and the Allentown Police Department, but also people were waiting, pleading for those officials to acknowledge not just the pain and outrage that people were feeling at that individual incident, but also the pain and outrage at the cumulative effect of systemic racism that have led to a lot of the protests and a lot of the anger and a lot of frustration. In those statements, there was nothing about systemic racism. There was nothing about Black Lives Matter. There was nothing that would show somebody that was angry and frustrated that the people that were in the positions of authority understood not just this individual incident, but the bigger issues that people were looking at. And that, even though this was an Allentown, that becomes our problem, because people, when they don't trust authority and when they don't trust the people that to reflect their anger and their frustration and have empathy towards understanding that we need to do better, it leads to mistrust that we end up having to deal with the consequences as well. And I'll finish up here by saying that, you know, I've said this before, we didn't create many of these systems of inequity, but it's our responsibility to fix them. You know, and we were temporarily given the responsibility by the people of Bethlehem. And a major part of that responsibility is utilizing our authority in the right way. And I just hope that if we ever have a situation like this, that we respond with more respect for the cumulative pain, anger, and frustration that many are feeling, and also understand that, you know, how you utilize authority. And I am not a parent, but I know from watching my own family and other families, and I know from watching the classroom, and I know from watching authority used publicly, is that there's a way that people respect it and there's a way that people don't. And when you don't respect the way authority is being utilized, it just builds up this anger and frustration that we're seeing a lot of. And I just wanted to say that. And thank you, Mr. Wilkin.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Reynolds. Ms. Cramsey Smith?
I guess I just wanted to try to bring some clarification, because it seems like there's still a lot of confusion regarding the community engagement initiative, and quite frankly, I'm a little confused, because I feel like some of the callers have been repeated callers, are not feeling what I'm feeling as far as what it is going to look like. The community engagement initiative is really to allow another avenue for public input beyond just city council meetings or public safety committee meetings. And from there, to provide some framework to the city and the council and the police to move forward and to address systemic racism, as well as build bridges and build better relationships within the community and with our police department. Again, I think I'm going to read what the resolution states. At one point, it states that city council believes it is now the time to create a consistent public space for the long-term discussion of issues surrounding systemic racism, discrimination, race-based inequity, social justice, mental health, addiction, poverty eradication, inclusionary housing, education, and fair policy practices. We must work together. A community-wide coalition dedicated to promoting awareness of these issues. It is imperative that we create as wide of a space as possible to include all community voices in this important conversation. Again, I certainly don't profess to have all the answers. I agree with what Mr. Reynolds said. We have a real issue of systemic racism that has gone on for way too long, many hundreds of years in this country. I see it every day in the students that I work with, and I will reiterate what Mr. Reynolds said. One thing that I think is key in my counseling with my high school students is letting them feeling validated, especially when they are angry and they feel they have been oppressed by a system that has been unjust. So people need to feel validated and that they matter, and I hope that this community engagement can help to meet that goal, at least partially. It may not be the be-all and end-all, but it is what it is entitled. It's a way to engage all members of the community to give their voice, to tell us what should we do, how should we proceed, so that we can work toward ending systemic racism in our city and in our country, as well as work to improving relationships within communities and the police. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crimson Smith. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I totally agree with Mr. Haynes on we have to do some work on that noise ordinance. With it, it's been going on for years as far as like the motorcycles with no mufflers, the cars with no mufflers, the people racing their engines when they're in neutral at the stoplights, whether it's at Market in Maine or Broad in Maine, and that area is primarily our dining area, and that's where most of our tourists are during the holiday season. And I just think the amount of noise that's created by those vehicles with the enhanced mufflers or whatever, I don't know what the terminology is or what they're doing to the muffler to change it to make it that loud, but it's not a normal muffler system. And I think something's got to be done. I don't know what, and I don't know what committee that would go into, whether it's Public Works or whatever, but it's something that has to be addressed eventually, and it's been going on for a number of years. So I just wanted to say that I totally agree with him on that. My second issue is that I guess I'm asking for some advice here from everybody or from President Waldron and Mr. Spurt. So Mr. Bodoni sent out probably about four or five different emails to myself and Dr. Van Wert and also Councilwoman Negron, and we've probably had about 20 meeting dates, and for some reason we're unable to schedule a meeting date for the equal pay ordinance, which I think is very important to all women and minority women in particular. So I'm asking Mr. Bodoni to send out another list of dates. But if that comes back also as not being able to schedule it, what are the options at this point, Mr. Waldron and Mr. Spurk?
I don't know what the issue is as far as finding a date. Obviously, it's pretty challenging with the current conditions to get people in the same room. So I imagine that meeting remotely is an option. I can't speak to committee members' availability. That would be something for them. And I don't know what is required. Obviously, there's three members of the committee, whether you can meet with just two members if it's not able to get three in committee to a meeting. So I'm not sure what your options would be moving forward. There's also the possibility that members of the committee don't want to meet to discuss the item on the agenda as well, which I think is what you're implying as well, based on the conversations that have happened around that topic specifically.
So the ordinance, as everybody knows, was passed in the city of Philadelphia. It's being passed by a lot of cities. It basically protects women from it makes businesses pay women the same amount of money for doing the same job, provided all the qualifications are the same. And it's been passed by the city of Philadelphia. It went to federal court, and the federal courts ruled in favor of women and minority women, and this is a really important thing for the city of Bethlehem. So, I'm all ears. I've been waiting for, some dates to be agreed to. I know that some of the people on the committee had some questions about it, but I still haven't received any amendments that they'd like to address. And at this point, if I'm going to ask Mr. Bodoni to send out another round of meetings, and I've agreed to every, there's been over 20 meeting dates, and all the years I've been in council, I've never had any committees never be able to agree to it over a period of 3 months. So I'm just asking, I do want to move this forward. If they don't want to, I understand, but I would ask that council, be willing to at least listen to the arguments of passing the ordinance and pull it out of committee. So I don't know how many, Mr. Spurk, how many votes does it take to pull out a committee?
Jack, we're not hearing you. Still no audio, Jack.
While we're waiting for Mr. Spurk, could I ask the other the committee
member? Yes, Mr. Spurk, we can hear you.
Yeah, obviously for a committee meeting, two votes are two members to be a quorum for a committee, so you need two members present to have a committee meeting. And a majority could call up the discharge the committee and call up the issue to come before a full council.
And how many people on full council have to vote to pull it out of committee?
Majority,
okay. I mean, I would just reach out to my, you know, the committee members. Is there any amendments that you would like to propose to me that I could help move this along? Or, I mean, I'm just looking for some guidance.
Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Weldon. Councilman Callahan, I believe we had a conversation and it was clear that, you know, we're not going to sit down together and meet and talk everything, the same thing all over again, repeat the same thing. We don't have a solution for this, we don't have a solution for that. Mr. Spurk did the research, and obviously there's no way for us to include in there that money is paid for the individual, the woman that needs to take the employer to court. So unless you have a conversation with the human relations, which is the way passed in Philadelphia and other places, by the way, if you can have that conversation with the human relations committee and they agree to take on this, then that would be the solution, really, in terms of that process. But I believe that Dr. Van Gorp also had some input that she wanted to be included in there, which includes the state statements of public statements of the salary of individuals. And I believe that you mentioned that it will make every woman get paid the same thing as every man, and I don't think that's really what it means. It just means that the box that we have, that they asked how much we were getting paid in our previous employer, is what this ordinance, as you presented it, is what it will avoid. So they don't, you know, use that as the base, like, you know, oh, she was getting paid only $12 an hour, so we can just give it 12 again. Not necessarily that now, because men are getting paid 20, women will be paid 22. So again, if you want to have a conversation with the Human Relations Commission and see if they will be willing to take on this piece, that will be a reason for us to get together.
Well, that's so I did a little research on this. So number one, the ordinance as it's written right now is, again, it has been passed by numerous cities in the United States to protect women, and I think there was an assumption made that if we pass it, there's going to be thousands and thousands of businesses that are going to be violating the law, and there's going to be thousands of women who need to go to court and spend $4,000 or $5,000 of a retainer fee. And from what I've talked to the Northampton County Bar is, businesses in general, when ordinances are passed, they don't break the law. And the great thing about this ordinance is that we are going to make an educational piece. We're not going to make it binding immediately. As you remember, we talked about in the two committee meetings that we wanted to have an educational piece, and I had talked to Mr. Evans and Mr. Sivak, and we could send out with the city taxes every year to all the businesses, along with the business privilege tax, we could put a little mailer into those envelopes to inform the human resources departments of all these companies and businesses that that you are no longer permitted to ask women what they made at their prior employment. So, and that's the gist of the law. So, and then, you know, the fact that there was also the suggestion that, would you, you know, that women, that if they were asked a question, would have to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on a retainer. And I've been told by the bar, that's why we have district justices. And most lawyers, or most people that do go to district justices, most lawyers charge no more than $400 to $500. But I also talked to the Northampton County Bar, and they are under agreement that they think that any business that, after a year of being educated about the new law that broke the law, they would, you know, assure me that there'd be numerous lawyers in Northampton County who would do it pro bono, provided they get to represent the woman when and if it goes to court. But they, to, you know, 100% of them said, when the cities pass ordinances, businesses do not want to break the law. They usually, especially on civil rights issues and things like that, and equal pay, they don't want to be in the newspaper or called out for violating those types of laws. So they, you know, they abide by those laws. If we have one or two people a year who that claim that a business did question them on it, I feel that we can move it to the Human Relations Board or commission. That's their job. And I think originally they thought that there'd be thousands and thousands of cases, and that really is not the case from what I'm hearing. So I, again, would like to at least have counsel look at this and or read it and have a chance to look at it. I ideally would like the other two committee members to, if you don't like what's in it, come up with some type of an amendment. Originally, at our last meeting, you both had stated you needed 6 weeks. It's been almost 3 or 4 months, and I still haven't received any amendments on it. So if you do want to change something, I'd like to have the amendment so we can at least discuss it and have a meeting. That's why we are on the committee. And if you don't want, if you don't like it, then just be honest and be upfront and say you're not in favor and vote it down. And that way it can go to council with a negative recommendation. That's, I mean, that's what, I mean, just not agreeing to a meeting, to me, is not doing the citizens of Bethlehem justice. It's just, it's stymieing the conversation and the opportunity for women to be equally represented when it comes to pay and salary. So if you don't like the ordinance as it is, I'd prefer that we could have a meeting and you can vote against it as a negative recommendation to full council, and then we give full council the opportunity to vote on it as a whole. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I would maybe encourage you to reach out to members of the committee to have those conversations individually. Mr. Spur, do you want
to? Yeah, just a little nuance. Yes, the majority vote of council can bring a matter from committee back to council. If notice is given in the agenda that a motion to discharge the committee is going to be voted on. So in other words, Mr. Callahan, if you got to a point where you didn't feel like the committee was moving and you wanted the full council to take the issue back, you would have to request that that go on the agenda for a meeting, and then a majority vote would be sufficient to bring it back. If there would be no prior notice, and it was just something that you spontaneously brought up at a meeting, then it would require 5 votes, it would require 2/3. But so long as you gave notice in the agenda to a subsequent meeting, it would only be 4 votes. I just wanted to clarify my earlier statement that a majority would be sufficient. It is, if there's prior notice before the meeting.
Thank you. I will take Mr. Waldron's advice. I will send an email to the other committee members. I'll also have Mr. Vidoni send out three or four more dates to see if we can all agree to meet and have a meeting. And if they don't like the ordinance as it is, I would ask kindly that you just vote against it as it is, or submit an amendment at our next meeting of any changes that you'd like to have. And I will also have at the next meeting, as soon as we can schedule it, some representatives from the Northampton County Bar who would explain that there'd be lawyers if businesses did violate the law, that there would be lawyers, a number of lawyers, who would be willing to handle any of those cases pro bono, provided they have the case when it goes to court. So I just would ask Dr. Van Wert and Councilwoman Negron that if Mr. if you wouldn't mind that we could agree to a virtual meeting, a committee meeting, and if you can't I understand, but I would ask that we then or if we do have the meeting, vote against it so we can move it to full council. And if you don't want to vote against it and stall on it or keep it in council or in committee, I would ask that we then, I will then give full council notice that I'd like to pull it out of the committee. So thank you so much.
Is there any other new business for Dr. Van Wert?
Hi. So for the 24 people who are watching us, I just have to feel compelled to say, as you all know, I'm a physician. Today we had over 1,000 deaths in America from COVID. We had over 1,000 new cases in Pennsylvania from COVID. And we have a death rate here in Bethlehem of 8.2%, which I hope will continue to drop as we learn more about it. But in some ways, I feel that we are like firefighters who are standing in a field and the forest fire is surrounding us. And I'm just sending out this plea to everyone. Please don't take this for granted. It is not time to sit down and pull out our deck chairs. It is time for us to start digging the fire ditches deeper. This is the time where we have a chance of keeping this out of our community by practicing all of the guidelines as stringently and as frequently as we possibly can, because I am so deeply concerned that if we don't do this right now, that things are going to get worse. So while I totally understand the pain that this has caused our local businesses, and I feel like if we don't get it right now, it's going to be even more painful in the future. So that's my message. That's what I wanted to say. I still have grave and deep concerns. This virus has decimated my personal community where I practice, and the death rate in the places where I go, in nursing homes, is at least 25%. So please, let's do everything possible we can to not prevent this from coming back through our town and our community, and keep it away by using all the guidelines and not relaxing your guard. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. We have one last bit of housekeeping here. Our next council meeting is scheduled for August 4th. Typically, we have our council meeting that occurs during Music Fest. We move to the 5:30 time period. And I have I'm seeking a motion to do that this evening as well. It does feel a little anticlimactic to move the council meeting without the large Music Fest that we all know and love, but in fact the adjusted virtual Music Fest that's happening. However, we advertised at the beginning of the year that our council meetings occur. We put out our full schedule and pay for those advertisements, which aren't too expensive. However, we do have a public hearing scheduled for that evening. So that has already been advertised at 5:30, and that happened before we got to where we're at as far as COVID. And to revert back to our 7 p.m. would cost about $2,000 to the city to do that. So I think in
keeping with our tradition, as well as also being prudent financially, we should stay on track to keep our meeting at 5:30, and then it would also allow folks to go home and stream some of the virtual events that are happening on August 4th, as well as the rest of the week, in order to support Arts Quest and all the other businesses downtown that could use our support and our dollars. So at this point, I'll accept the motion to reschedule the time of the City Council meeting for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, to 5:30, previously at 7 p.m. So seeking a motion in a second.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Mr. Callahan, second by Ms. Negron. If that's okay with everybody. Clerk, any discussion on that? Clerk could call the roll, please.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So our next council meeting, August 4th, 2020, will be at 5:30 p.m. instead of 7. It'll be the same setup as far as our go-to meeting attendance option, as well as our YouTube stream and our phone call-in line. I will invite a soft invitation from any members of council who do want to come in. You're able to do that. However, at this point, we wouldn't be able to accept everybody due to social distancing. So if you have the itch to come in here, I think we could accept as many as two people up here at the dais. So if you do want to do that, please reach out to Mr. Bodoni so we don't have too many people show up at the same time. Is there any other new business for members of council? Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to share a few comments. First of all, and I talked about this with the mayor already, I want to say kudos to the Health Bureau. The ECJ is now in charge of the social media, and it's doing a splendid job. I was very impressed. Even over the weekend, I was seeing in social media comments again and again about the heat, about COVID, positive messages, fun messages. I was just incredible. And also, I spoke with Ms. Judy Evans, and again, kudos for her putting together this thinking out of the box again with parks and putting it together with health and even the police department and even community organizations, and to keep the kids busy. It is been great. I heard nothing but great feedback. I hope everybody stays safe. I know the Health Bureau has been very militant about keeping everybody at a 6 feet distance, so everybody, the kids can be safe, everybody can be safe in there. And I am just looking at the pictures, and I had a big smile on my face just to see so many different departments and community organizations and the police, very especially on the police, being in there, you know, being a positive connection with members of our community, with our youth. I heard tonight the mayor talk about the more parklets. Bravo. Thank you. Please remember the South Side. I know that in the South Side, even though we call it the second downtown, 4th Street restaurants are a little more spread out. And we have a few, like, you know, restaurants that are a little farther away. And I just please ask you to keep an eye on those restaurants that are also suffering. And my last comment is about, you know, first of all, thanking individuals that call in. I know a few people were very mentioning how come last meeting we only kind of like heard one side of a group. Well, they organized and they put that together, make it a point to share the comments. And, you know, I'm glad that you did that tonight too. We need to hear from you. That's what the public comment space is for. And I also want to say, I know a few, the two callers that talked about it, were worried about members of council being reckless and thinking to, you know, eliminate the police department. And I have not heard nobody from any member of council talking about that. And I will definitely personally say, I worked for 7 years with the city City of Allentown with the Widen City Initiative. I was a member of the Pennsylvania Crime Commission and Delinquency. And I've been very involved with police departments, watch police department working all through the Commonwealth and the nation. And I know for experience and for working, years of working with police, that there are many ways that we can have a great, a better police department. I think we have a great police department. You know, show of force is something that we have seen devastating among our community. But I truly believe that that is not the issue here. But we do have to better the relationships between the community, especially people of color and the police department. And so there is room in there for us to do that. And I'm hopeful that moving forward between the different groups and especially the council that was created, that will, the advisory council, that will allow and that people need to speak up, because just like city council meetings, public, you know, comments space is for you, for everybody to speak up, to say something. We are hoping that this special space that will be created for that kind of conversation, people do take advantage. And I know that in many circumstances, it is precisely like I believe Marisol mentioned, people of color are actually the ones that will not speak up because of fear, because of retaliation, because of life experiences of, you know, the white privilege and the power always being, the, you know, putting us down and not letting us talk. You know, I hear that many times. I found my voice and I'm not afraid to speak, so I do it. But that's not the case with the general people of color. And, you know, at this point, and Mr. Raymond mentioned that at the beginning, that the frustration has become anger, and that's dangerous. It could be even worse. So it is important to create that space, and I'm glad that we are, I'm hopeful that we are going to be doing this, creating that safe space for people to do that. I'm really, you know, praying that members of my community do take this opportunity, this advantage, to be able to be there and feel safe to speak up. Because the reports, even the last report that we got from the police department, if you look at it in detail, the claims that the police department gets is from white people. And, you know, if you think about why is the majority of complaints for members of the police department coming from white people? That doesn't mean that the white people are the only ones that are getting, you know, not treated well. It's only because people of color are afraid to speak up, are not, that is not the norm. We don't go make complaints. That is why that number, especially among Latinos, look at the report, is the lowest. Why? Because I talk with many, they come to me and they tell me, this happened to me. I said, make a complaint. They're afraid to make complaints. They're afraid to speak up. So I pray and I really hopeful that we can generate this aura and pass this idea that we are trying to create a space, a safe space for people in the community to come and speak together. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Grown. Any other new business from members of council this evening? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Good job.